Well, good evening, Worth Baptist Church. It's good to be in church tonight, isn't it? Amen. Sunday nights are my favorite service at Lancaster Baptist Church. It's kind of the service that Pastor Chapel gives you what for. And I enjoy that type of service. I enjoy being told what to do from the Bible. Amen? Because I want to know what my God wants from me. And by the empowering Holy Spirit, I can do what God wants me to do. My wife and I are here. She's over here to my left. 39 years of marriage. 3 children serving the Lord. 5 grandbabies, which are our delight. I tell my children I would have skipped them and gone right to the grandchildren. But they don't like hearing that from Dad. But that's the truth, and the truth will make you free. So, John 8:32. And so we come from West Coast Baptist College, where I'm the head of the biblical counseling program. We have an undergraduate degree in biblical counseling. We also have a master's degree that's totally online for biblical counseling. We also have, I want to make mention of this to the church body, that I did 10 lectures that are free of charge. You have to sign up on the website, the WCBC.edu, and if you go to the icon online, and then that'll bring scroll down some things, and you just push lecture. I have 10 lectures that are free of charge on 10 different topics that we deal with in counseling, such as addiction, anxiety, depression, grief, and again, those are free of charge. They're about 30-35 minutes in length, and I think that would be beneficial to some just to educate yourself in regards to those topics. I've had the privilege of writing a few books, and I want to just take a few minutes to share those with you. This one is See No Evil. This is specific about pornography. Pornography is running rampant in our society and within our churches. The average age of exposure when I initially wrote this book was 11 years of age. When I redid this book to go through Striving Together Publications, I redid the statistics, and because of the internet and social media, the average age of exposure now is 9. That happens. And there's a lot of men and women that are entangled in this sin, in this bondage. And so this helps you understand how you got there, but more importantly, how to get out through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then a book that I wrote that none of us deal with today in our lives, stress, right? No stress in our lives, anxiety and worry. It's called Pressure Points. And it talks about endogenous stress, stress that comes from within us, like expectations we have of ourselves that we don't meet. And then it also talks about exogenous stress or stress from the outside in that can cause problems in our lives. And so that's out there. And then just recently, I just say no. It's not all about saying N-O. It's saying who you know, K-N-O-W, the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know, according to John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth is not something, it's someone, it's Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, the truth, can make free. And so those are out in the vestibule out there. My wife and I will be out there after the services. And if you have any questions regarding those free lectures, or you have any question regarding West Coast Baptist College, we're happy to help you and address those issues for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want to look at one verse tonight. We're talking about an addiction program, strangleholds on people's lives. I'm going to give a little twist to the word addiction and talk to you about being addicted to the ministry of the saints. Being addicted to the ministry of the saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, it says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Talk about being addicted to the ministry of the saints. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you tonight in the name above every name, your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would meet with us, work in our hearts. I pray that you would maximize the message and minimize the messenger. I pray that your Son, Jesus Christ, would be honored and glorified through what is said and done this evening. I pray that your will be done, your kingdom advanced. Father, and even tonight, may a soul right now that does not know Christ as Savior come to know Jesus tonight as their Savior. Strengthen your people tonight, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we have seen tonight by the testimonies of these men, most of them, the addiction has a negative ring to it, and so it should. There are so many things that can have a stronghold on your life that you can become addicted to, but the act of addiction, according to 1 Corinthians 16:15, is not wrong in and of itself. Just for example, coveting by itself isn't wrong. It's the object of the coveting that can make it wrong. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you unto you a more excellent way. So it's okay to covet, to desire, to want the things of God. So it's okay, according to the verse we just read, to be addicted to the right things, to the things of God. What is addiction? It's a preoccupation with. Addiction permeates every aspect of your life. It starts off in the spiritual realm of your life because it is one bad decision followed by another bad decision followed by another bad decision until that decision becomes habitual and you are now addicted to a substance, to a behavior that is destroying your life. And not only is it a preoccupation with and it permeates your life, it is something that you are very passionate about. You desire it. You seek after it with your entire existence. You wake up and you go to bed thinking about it. I think a great illustration of this is Goliath with young David. What did Goliath do every morning? He taunted the nation of Israel. He defied the God of Israel. Every morning he did that. Every evening he came out and he did the same thing. He taunted the nation of Israel, the army of Israel. He defied the God of Israel. Every morning they heard that voice. Every evening they heard that voice. That's exactly what happens to those that are addicted. They wake up with that noise in their head to supply their addictive need. It's the first thing they hear in the morning, and it's the last thing they go to bed hearing at night. Addiction is where you lose control. You cannot quit. And there's consequences associated with it. Many are addicted to drugs, because some will say right now, you're thinking in your mind, well, Brother Crabb, I'm not addicted to drugs, and I praise the Lord for that. I'm not addicted to pornography, praise the Lord for that. But I truly believe that all sin is potentially addictive, because there's pleasure in sin for a season, according to Hebrews chapter 11, when we sin, the mesolimbic system in our brain lights up with dopamine and gives us a sense of pleasure that our flesh wants to go after time and time again, whether it be drugs, whether it be pornography, or whether it be some other ungodly behavior. Some people, I believe, are addicted to anger and bitterness. They won't let it go. They're addicted to criticism and negativism. They're addicted to laziness. They're addicted to indifference. a who cares attitude. They're addicted to unfaithfulness or self-righteousness. This is their God. This is their idol. This is what they worship. And addiction is distorted worship. It's worshiping something other than God Almighty, God Jehovah. But we need to be, as we talk about all the negative, let's talk about we need to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. You and I, as children of God, I'm sure you've heard this statement preached from this pulpit. We need to let go and let God. God is not our co-pilot. That philosophy is our problem. We want to have the wheel and get some advice at times from God, especially when times are difficult or we're struggling. God doesn't take orders. God does not take suggestions. God is not in heaven breaking out in a sweat going because of what's going on in our world today. Our God is sovereign. Our God is almighty. Our God is in control and always will be in control. He doesn't need our counsel. Too many are addicted to their physical and emotional cravings instead of their spiritual calling. Too many of us are addicted to our physical and emotional cravings than our spiritual calling. Our calling should be greater than our cravings. And so I want to share with you just some things tonight that I believe we should be addicted to. Addicted to. Number one, the study of the scriptures. It says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It says in Acts 17:11 that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We need to become preoccupied with the Bible. We need to allow the Bible to permeate our life, and we need to passionately pursue the word of God. We need to listen to the word of God. We need to love the word of God, and we need to live the word of God, my friends. And get lost, if I may say, get lost in the Bible. Have a personal and powerful relationship with God. Back in February of 1985, I laid eyes on my wife for the first time. And I like what I saw. February of 1985. And I needed to get to know her. Now, the first time I ever made an advance towards her to go out for a cup of coffee, I was like an airplane taking off from the airport, and she had a surface-to-air missile that she launched into my engine and shot the plane down as it was just taking off. And I crashed, and I burned badly. Right, men? Rejection, we don't like rejection. But she joined the church that my father was the pastor of a few weeks later. And like you did this morning, you welcomed that lady into membership. And we came around and shook hands with the new members. And as I was approaching her, she gave a little giggle, and that gave me hope. The old antenna went up again as I was collecting the wreckage from the first attempt there. And she said yes the second time. And I praise the Lord for that. That's been obviously a few years. But I got to know her by talking with her, by spending time with her. And truly, getting to know her now more than I did back in 1985, it's a more special relationship than it was back in 1985. That's what God wants for us. I long to spend time with my wife. If I had a hobby, my hobby is the Word of God. It's serving in ministry. If I can call it a hobby, it's a life that God has given us. But if I have some downtime, I want to be sitting in the love seat with my wife holding her hand. That's what I desire. And I'm not just doing this to get brownie points tonight, my friends. Although I'll take brownie points anytime. But we like spending time together. God wants to spend time with you, my friend. He's your child. You're his child. No raise of hands, but when was the last time you were in your Bible? No raise of hands. We counsel quite a bit at our church and at the college, and I always ask the question to the counselee, when was the last time you were in your Bible? I pose it this way. I ask him this question, what did you get out of your Bible reading today? Because I'm making the assumption they were in their Bible today. And they say, oh, Dr. Crabb, I wasn't in my Bible today. Well, what did you get out of your Bible yesterday? I wasn't in my Bible yesterday. Well, how about last week? I wasn't in the Bible last week. How about last month? You will be surprised amongst church-going people, the lack of involvement in Bible reading and in Bible study. And I want to implore you this evening to get addicted to the Word of God. Get addicted. Let it permeate your life. Be preoccupied with it. Pursue it passionately. Memorize it. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Memorize the word of God so you can meditate on the word of God so that then you can do the word of God as Joshua 1:8 talks about. Just, again, lose yourself in the word of God. Study the scriptures. Secondly, I think we should get addicted to supporting each other. It's kind of what the Bridge to Recovery program is all about. You say, I have nothing to offer. And you may not. But one thing you do have to offer, it's called your presence. Don't underestimate your presence. Just by being there, just by filling a seat, is encouragement to those that come. Just like tonight, you look around and you see people here. And even though you may not have verbally spoken to them, you see them here and it is an encouragement to you. It's an encouragement to me to see this group here tonight that are hungry for the Word of God, hungry for the things of God, want to be supportive of your church, want to be supportive of your pastor. That's what we need to get addicted to. It says in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort, encourage one another daily. When is the last time you encouraged your pastor? Your pastor is a man just like us and you. The devil would love to get a hold of him and sift him and devour him just like he would want to get a hold of you. When's the last time you text your pastor and just said, Pastor, I love you. I'm praying for you. That takes about 10 to 15 seconds. A lot of times with Pastor Chapel, I have a blessed relationship with him. And I'll just at times say, Pastor, I love you. I'm praying for you. Is there anything I can do to lighten the burden? Young people, children here tonight, when's the last time you encouraged your parents? And thank your parents for the godly home that you live in. There are so many homes out there that are wrecked and ruined by sin. Thank God for Christian families, Christian mom and dads that are truly saved and passionately reading their Bible, passionately pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are under their tutelage, you are under their authority. Take time, write them a note, write them a card, send them a text, and let them know that you love them and you appreciate what you're doing for them. Spiritual leadership needs encouragement. Brother Sides needs encouragement. Brother John needs encouragement. The pastors here need encouragement. Brother Allen, right, gave me $20 to mention his name tonight. So you owe me the $20. He asked for my endorsement, and so I'm giving it to him. And it was $20 worth, which I have it, or he's supposed to give it to me afterwards. My friends, we all need encouragement. We have roughly 6,000 thoughts a day, estimated. 75% are estimated to be negative or pessimistic. We battle pessimism and negativity in our own minds. And then from the outside, we have people that say, oh, you can't do this. You're not that good. You're unable to perform whatever task it might be. And so in a sense, we're conditioned for failure. And it is a healthy thing when a brother or sister in Christ comes alongside you and says, listen, man, I love you. I'm praying for you. And you can do the will of God in your life. You can glorify God in your life. We need that from each other. The kind words that I received after this morning's message were encouraging to me, and I thank you for that. But not only studying the Bible and support, number three is service. You think about Jesus. What did he do? It says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. It says in Psalm 34:14, depart from evil and do good. It says in Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord. You know, people are always telling, oh, just trust God, just trust God, just trust God, which we need to trust God, but there's more to it. It says, trust God and do good. And do good without any thought of reciprocity. There was a time when I was at the hospital back in Michigan, when we were living in Michigan, and it was a Friday evening. I was not on call that weekend, so when I was done with my hospital work on Friday, I literally had 2 days off, which I so desired. I got a call from the emergency room about a lady named Helen, who I knew from previous admissions, and she was being admitted for congestive heart failure. And it was about 5:30. I could have easily pushed it off on my partner that was taking call that weekend and started his weekend off great, but I told myself, well, George, you know, just go ahead and take the admission, get it done. I already know the patient. It's going to be less work for me than it would be for him. And so I went to the room, and she was there in the room. Her name was Helen, and I took her chart. That's still when we had paper charts. Now it's all electronic medical records, but that's when we had the big charts that we would handle. And I took the chair and snugged it up against the bed and got the chart out, started to flip through it. And I said, Helen, how you doing? And she said, Dr. Crabb, I just want to die. She was in her mid-80s, congestive heart failure. And the Holy Spirit prompted me to ask her this question, Helen, are you ready to die? I have to be very careful what I say as a physician. You know, I have to be careful about going into a patient's room and saying, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? They may be thinking that I know something that they don't. So I have to be sensitive, you know, to the patients. But I asked Helen, I said, Helen, are you ready to die? And she says, what do you mean, Dr. Crabb? I said, well, Helen, do you know if when you die that you'll be in the presence of God in heaven, or will you be without God in hell? And she says, Dr. Crabb, I don't know. And I said, can I share with you, Helen, from the Bible, how you can know that when you die, you'll be in the presence of God? And she said, oh, Dr. Crabb, would you? And I pulled out my New Testament from my white coat pocket. And right there in that room at Troy Beaumont Hospital, shared the gospel with Helen, and she gloriously got saved. And 6 months after that, Helen is now in heaven. And I don't say that. I'm not the poster child of doing good, but I did good for my partner because I didn't want him to get stuck with the work. So I did it, and God blessed that and allowed me to share with Helen the gospel, and a soul was saved. And I believe heaven, I believe Helen is now in heaven waiting for us to get there so that together we can glorify God, that for all eternity we'll be in the presence of God. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you did good? When is the last time you did good without reciprocity? That you just did good, just to do good, no matter if they did good back or not, you just did good. And that's what you can do in the Bridge to Recovery for workers, is you can go and just your presence is important, but you can get involved as a mentor, as a leader, whatever the case might be, a nursery worker, and you can do good even if you don't receive benefit from the people. God will bless as God blessed me as I did good to Helen that day. So not only should we be addicted to the study of the scriptures and to supporting each other, encouraging each other, and to service, but number four, we should be addicted to soul winning. Amen. Witnessing for our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You see, we have the answer to the sin issue. And I believe that a lot of Christians are spiritually negligent and not sharing that answer. If you came to me medically for a condition, and I had the treatment program that could heal you, and I withheld it and said, go your way, that's called medical negligence. And I could be sued for that. Withholding proper treatment from an individual when I had the power to render that treatment. My friends, we have a responsibility to give the gospel out. Now, it may not be at the appointed time the church goes out knocking on doors, although that's wonderful. Soul winning or knocking on doors is just not for a 1 or 2 hour period that the church sets aside, which is wonderful to participate in. But knocking on doors and soul winning or being a witness is for every day of our life. We should be addicted with it. It should permeate our life. It should be something that we're passionate about, because we have the answer. If they don't get the answer, they're going to end up apart from God for all eternity. It's spiritual negligence in a lot of cases. And number five, and I'll end with this, we should be addicted to the sanctification process. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:4 that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Live a holy, righteous life. Like I started the message, I want to be told from the Bible how to live. You show me in the Bible, God wants me to do this, by all means, I want to do it. If you show me from the Bible that God wants this out of my life, then I want it out of my life. I want to live a holy, pure life by the grace of God, by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, so that my life is well-pleasing in the eyes of my God. And so we have studying the scriptures, supporting each other, serving, soul winning, and sanctification. May these preoccupy us. Do they? Or does your family preoccupy you? Permeate our lives. May we be passionate about these things. May we lose control to God and let God have preeminence in our lives. We are not able to quit these things no matter what. It's just who I am. It's just what I do. I can't stop it. It's what I do. I told you this morning, for those that were here, July 21st, 2024, I went to bed normal, whatever that is. My wife can define that for you, whatever normal is for me. But I went to bed July 21, 2024, normal. And early in the morning, July 22nd, 2024, I couldn't walk when I woke up. I couldn't bear weight. I told you that I had an abscess around my spine. The infection got into my blood. And I told you all the bad things that transpired in my life, and that for a while it was touch and go. We didn't know if I was going to survive or be ushered into the presence of God. But I want to tell you that from July 22nd, 2024, every day I have prayed for my healing. And I think that's okay. Don't you believe that? Amen? I think that's okay. Several weeks ago, as I was reading the Bible, I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me through the Word of God and said, George, do you want your healing more than the healer? And that struck my heart. I was passionately pursuing my healing in prayer, but was I neglecting my pursuit of God? So now I said, God, I want my healing, and believe me, every day I pray for my healing. But I pray first that I may know Him. Amen. And the power of His resurrection. Amen. And the fellowship of His suffering being made conformable unto His death. I want the healer more than the healing. Amen. What do you want more than God? What do you want more than the Bible? What do you want more than encouraging others? What do you want more than service to others? What do you want more than witnessing to others? What do you want more than sanctification in your life? If there is a something there, it's an idol that needs to be destroyed, so that God may reign preeminent in your life. Who do you want more, the idol or God? Be addicted to the ministry of the saints. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the time you gave me with this congregation tonight. Father, we obviously look at addiction as a negative thing, and rightfully so, but when we see it from the perspective of Scripture, we can see that we can become preoccupied with, have permeate our lives, and passionately pursue the things of God. I pray that each child of God tonight would be able to say, there's nothing between me and my Jesus. That they are addictively pursuing you, and a relationship with you that would honor and glorify you and advance your kingdom. Work in people's hearts tonight. As every head is bowed and eyes are closed tonight, you say, Brother Crabb, you talk about being addicted to Christ, the ministry of the saints. I don't even know what it is to be a child of God. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, but I would like you to pray for me. If you raise your hand, I will not embarrass you. I will not call you down. I will not come down and get you, but I will pray for you. Is there anyone in the auditorium this evening that would say, Dr. Crabb, please pray for me that I can get this settled even tonight. Anyone across the auditorium that has that desire for me to pray for them, I see that hand in the back, and I see that hand, sir. In a moment, we're going to have a time of what we call invitation. It's a time that we make decisions. And the best decision you can make in your life is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. As soon as we sing a song, I really recommend that you come forward and meet with one of the workers here and let them share with you from the Bible how you can know you're a child of God. And children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, may nothing be between us and our Savior. I pray that maybe you need to bend a knee at an old-fashioned altar and just tell God that you're passionately pursuing Him, that you want Him above all else, that you truly want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Father, I pray for these that raise their hands that are uncertain of their eternal destiny. I pray that they would respond during this time of invitation and receive you as their Savior, and that again you would work in the hearts and minds of your children, draw all of us closer to you for your honor, for your glory, and for the advancement of your kingdom. And this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.